The Truth About Hell.
My subject, the truth about hell. But first, may I start our discussion by asking you a question. What happened to King David of Israel when he died? Where did he go? David was one of the Old Testament prophets. David was a man after God's own heart. No, we know that he was not perfect. Yes, we know that he did wrong. But his desire was to serve God. He wrote many of the Psalms. He was used and blessed of the Lord. The question is, where did David go when he died? To heaven? No, he did not go to heaven. We are sure about that. We know that he did not go to heaven because the Apostle Peter, speaking by inspiration in Acts chapter 2, verses 29 and 34, said, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. For David is not ascended into the heavens." That was said, remember, hundreds of years after David had died. Then, where is he? Millions of people in America will answer, "Well, then, he must be in hellfire and brimstone." David in hellfire and brimstone? The man who wrote the 23rd Psalm, the man whose noble mind said in Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The man who said that in hellfire, well, then, where else is there to go, someone will ask. It is either heaven or hell, isn't it? He isn't in heaven, according to Peter, because Peter said that he had not ascended into the heavens. So he must be in hell. So let us try to find out the truth about hell and about David and about all the others who have died, members of your family and of my family. As many of us know, hell is an old English word. My dictionary, Webster's New World, gives as the base Anglo-Saxon meaning, hell, to cover, to conceal, to hide. That is the secular meaning of the word hell. Even today it is not unusual in England to hear people talk of helling their cottage. I've heard them say this myself. I knew that they weren't arsonists. I knew that they weren't burning down their home. I might have said, instead, I'm roofing my house, not helling my cottage, but I would have been saying the same thing. Farmers in America pit their potatoes or cover them with earth to protect them for seed. In England, they hell their potatoes. It means the same thing. They put them in a pit. They cover them. They do not roast them. They hell them. This is perfectly good English now, and it was more particularly so when our Bible was translated. Now that is the basic meaning of the word hell. But then the theologians went to work on that poor word and gave it a religious, a creedal meaning. And aided and abetted by the devil and by the powers of evil, a God-dishonoring, truth-beclouding, damnable heresy has been presented through a wrong understanding of the true meaning of this simple word, hell. Possibly no teaching has done more to cause intelligent people to lose faith in the Bible as being the Word of God than the teaching that God, our Father in heaven, doesn't practice what he preaches. Remember, he teaches us to love our enemies. But how does he treat those who do not obey him? Does he love his enemies? Or does he send them to hellfire? Is it the love of God that permits the majority of the human race to spend an eternity in torment? Or have we been taught error concerning the destiny that God has arranged for humanity? Let us discard error and get to the truth about hell. The word hell is found in the Bible, in both the Old and the New Testaments, and it is used in connection with the punishment for sin. Let us remember that as we go along. But let us keep in mind in our search for truth that the Bible also says concerning the punishment for sin, the wages of sin is death. Now, do these two expressions fit together? Is the wages of sin hellfire and brimstone, or is the wages of sin death? Does the Bible contradict itself on this point? What is the answer? Let us go back to the beginning of the Bible, to Genesis. That is where sin began. That is where sin entered, wasn't it? Adam had been created perfect. He had been told that disobedience to the law of God was sin. In Genesis, the second chapter and the seventh verse, we read, God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And in Genesis, the second chapter, verse 17, we read, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We all know that Adam ate of the fruit. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19, we read, And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now that is the whole story. Now that is all that was said when the penalty for sin was introduced. Nothing more than that, mind you. No suggestion of one part, the body, dying and going into the grave, and some other part, the soul, not dying but going away into a place of either heavenly bliss or punishment in the fires of hell. Nothing like that at all, was there, as far as the Genesis account is concerned. So, as Bible students, we must start from the premise that the wages of sin is death, and that death is the opposite of life, that life is the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In our search for truth, we must accept these scriptures for consideration, and when we do, we recall another old favorite which seems to emphasize and corroborate these truths. It is John, the third chapter, and verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now let us take the next step in learning the truth about hell. Does the Bible testimony on the subject of hell contradict this seemingly simple truth concerning life and death? It does not. I repeat, it does not. And here is why. Let us start with the Old Testament. Hell occurs 31 times in the Old Testament. It is from the Hebrew word Sheol in every instance. So we ask, what does Sheol mean? According to concordances, it means the unseen state, or the condition of the dead. Sheol is translated in our authorized version of the Bible, hell and grave, and also pit. So let us go for a short trip through the Bible, looking for this word Sheol, or hell. What do you suppose we are going to find on this trip through the Bible? Jacob was the first to use this word. Speaking of his son Joseph, whom he thought was dead, he refused to be comforted, and he said, as recorded in Genesis chapter 37, verse 35, "For I will go down into hell unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now, did Jacob expect to go to eternal torment? No, he expected to go to Sheol. He expected to go into death. Some of you may have noticed that the translators used the word grave in this instance for Sheol. Apparently, they hesitated to put Jacob in hell, so in this text they softened the word. But in 31 other instances, they translated Sheol by the word hell. But Sheol means the condition of death, and that is where Jacob expected to go. Here is another text where Sheol is found, in Job chapter 14, verses 13, 14, and 15. Listen. "Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in hell, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldst appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou wilt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have desire to the work of thy hands." Job was in trouble, suffering. He was sick. Job wanted to die. Now, if hell is the hell of the Dark Ages, just imagine Job's plight. He had boils from head to foot. He hurt all over. He prayed to go to Sheol. Why? To suffer more than ever? Or to sleep in death until the resurrection of the dead, when he would be remembered and come back? Psalms 6, verse 5 reads, "For in death there is no remembrance of thee in the grave," that is in Sheol, "who shall give thee thanks?" But now, just one more text from the Old Testament. Let me ask, did you know that Jesus went to hell? Well, he did. Listen to Psalm 16:10. "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And now, just after reading from the Old Testament, let us read Acts, the second chapter, verses 27 through 32 in the New Testament. The Apostle Peter here applies this text to Jesus. Listen, Peter speaking, he says, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption, David spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, and we are all witnesses." So our Lord Jesus went to hell. But did our Lord Jesus go to eternal torment? That is the question that we have to answer. Or did he taste death, Sheol, for every man? Which appeals to your reason more? Which is supported by the truth of the Bible? It is because Jesus took the sinner's place in death that all will be awakened from death and be given the opportunity to accept Christ and to live on earth through him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, we read, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." That is why Christ died and went to hell. That is why Christ tasted death for every man. In Psalms 49, verses 14 and 15, we read, "Like sheep, they are laid in Sheol." Do sheep go to eternal torment? Oh, no, you say. But they do die. Then Sheol must mean death, not hellfire. It was not speaking of roast lamb. I am sure you see that. And if you do, you are well on your way to learning the truth about hell. For those who are close students, I should mention that the Hebrew word qabr means literally the grave, while Sheol, or the Greek Hades, means the state of the dead. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 5 and 10, we read these words, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in Sheol," in hell, "whither thou goest." Now remember that that is Scripture. Here is a prophecy found in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 18 and 20. "And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand, for the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrow than he can wrap himself in it." Thank God this prophecy is being fulfilled. Many are finding the creed beds very uncomfortable. They find that they can't stay in them, and the truth about hell is causing them to know the true God as a God of love and mercy and not a cruel demon able to torment his own creatures in hellfire and brimstone while he tells us to love our enemies. Yes, the creed beds are getting too short and the blankets are getting too narrow and people are leaving them. Every man or woman who would not burn their own child in hell, but who teaches that God can burn his children in hell, psychologically believe that he is better than God. Now, I want you to think that over. Does it appear strange to you that the very people who tell their children of God's anger and punishments in hellfire are the very same people who picture themselves to the very same children as being Santa Claus, who is a giver of gifts and blessings? The Bible says, "Is mortal man more just than God? Is man more pure than his Maker?" What do you think? But now let us go to the New Testament in our trip through the Bible. We found in discussing Acts 2, verse 27 and Psalm 16, verse 10, that Sheol and Hades are synonymous words. So now let us draw some conclusions. Man was sentenced to death. The Bible hell in the Old Testament is Sheol. The Bible hell in the New Testament is Hades. The Bible hell in modern speech is death. But now listen to Jesus in Revelation 1:18. "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." In other words, Jesus has the authority to open the doors of hell and set the captives free. That is why he died, the just for the unjust. That is why he tasted death for every man, so that he could release them from hell, that is, from the state of death. Now listen to Revelation chapter 20, verse 13. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." Well, well, that isn't the way the creeds teach it. But certainly from this text of Scripture, hell delivers up its dead. This is really a lesson regarding the resurrection of the dead. And remember, if they weren't dead, they couldn't be resurrected from the dead. Doesn't that sound reasonable? The truth that hell delivers up the dead simply means that those who are dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man and come forth from death, and that they that hear and obey will live forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, he has the keys to set the captives free. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But right here I must tell you about the church, the true church, that is. Those who are the footstep followers of Jesus Christ, during this gospel age, during this gospel dispensation. That is, from apostolic days until the present time. This little flock, as it is called, they will not be resurrected on earth, as will the whole world of mankind. They will go to heaven. They will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years because they have been faithful unto Him even unto death. During that 1,000 years, the prophecy of Hosea will be fulfilled. I want you to listen to this prophecy of Hosea. It is found in chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave, that is, from hell, from Sheol. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O hell, O grave, I will be thy destruction. Now listen to 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter, verse 6. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. And now, listen to Psalms 90, verse 3. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. And connect those verses from the Old Testament to that text in the New Testament that I quoted a moment ago, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 22, For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. I wanted to tell you this so that you would catch the difference between the true church who partake of the first resurrection and live in heaven and those who will come forth on the earth to enjoy living when God's will is done in earth even as it is in heaven in answer to our prayer. But, oh yes, I almost forgot. Have I ever told you of the time that I spent in hell? I have told some of you, I am sure. I mean the real Bible hell. You know, I was there. I really was. Let me read Matthew chapter 11, verse 23. Our Lord was speaking, And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Well, I was in Capernaum, long after it had been brought down into hell. So you see, I personally have walked up and down in the very midst of hell, according to the words of our Lord Jesus. Now, what does it mean? It means simply this. Capernaum, as a city, is dead. Only ruins remain. We visited those ruins and saw how completely the Lord's words had been fulfilled. Yes, Capernaum is in hell. But not eternal torment, mind you. Capernaum is in oblivion, in death, in the Bible hell. And while I was there in hell, I never even felt the soles of my shoes become hot. It wasn't that kind of a creedal hell at all. Now let me ask again, where did David go when he died? And I can just hear some of you say, well, according to the Word of God, according to these scriptures that you have drawn to our attention, David is dead and buried, and he will remain asleep in death until the church is complete and passed into glory in the first resurrection. And then, not only David, not only those other ancient worthies of the past, from Abel until John the Baptist, who were loyal to God and received a good report through faith, not only them, but all the families of the earth, together with David, will be awakened from the sleep of death. Hell will deliver up its dead, And during the 1,000 years of Christ's reign, Satan will be bound, all evil tendencies will be restrained, and those who have come back from hell, who accept and obey the righteous laws of the kingdom, will be restored to human perfection and blessed with life everlasting. Then death shall be swallowed up in victory. Then there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither any more pain, for the former things will have passed away, and then God's will be done as fully on earth as it is in heaven. The truth about hell, then, makes it possible to know the goodness and the greatness of our God, to realize that He is indeed a God of love, and that He practices what He teaches us to do, to love our enemies. And when we know that He is love, if we grasp a vision of the glories of the coming kingdom, we will serve Him joyfully, not through fear, not through compulsion, but we will serve our Father in heaven because we know that He is worthy, and because we want to worship Him to show our appreciation for His goodness to us and to our families in the giving of His Son. Yes, we love Him because He first loved us, to honor, to glory, and to praise Him forever and forever is the desire of everyone who knows the love of God. So let us give glory to God, for there will be on earth peace and goodwill to men, because through the love of God there was born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So to understand the truth about hell is to believe that the wages of sin is death, but that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. What a Savior.